Welcome to Tech on Deck podcast brought to you by Fidelity Investments. I'm your host, Maureen Olajars, CIO of Enterprise Software Engineering.
And I'm Adam Ely, the head of Digital Products and Engineering.
Each episode takes listeners inside the walls of a fintech industry.
Anything from cybersecurity, artificial intelligence, cloud, and crypto to the intersection of product and technology.
Tech on Deck breaks down the topics top of mind for technologists today.
Plus, we'll give you insight into the exciting and challenging careers in fintech. Welcome back to another episode of Tech on Deck. I'm Maureen Olajars, head of software engineering at Fidelity.
And I'm Adam Ely, head of digital products and engineering, and really excited for our guest today. We have Brooke Forbes, who's currently the head of Stock Plan Services, a non-qual for workplace investing. And I say currently because, Brooke, you and I were on a podcast, maybe 2022, Fidelity's Side of Desk podcast. I was the head of cybersecurity. You were the head of technology for personal investing business here at Fidelity. Things have really changed since then.
They really have, Adam, and that was such a fun experience. And if I recall, that was actually some of our early innings for Tech on Deck. And I'm really excited, Maureen, to be doing this with you today, as well as Adam. The three of us have had such interesting intersections throughout our career that I know we're going to talk more about today. But if I have this right, I think we owe you both a huge congratulations. Is this not your 20th podcast that you've been running this series today? And I get to be a part of it. So I am really thrilled. And Adam, what's been super unique, if I reflect back on 2020, is, you know, as the three of us are sitting here, two of us former CIOs, one still running a massive software engineering organization on behalf of Fidelity. But you and I, since then, have both moved into different roles across Fidelity Investments, taking all of that technology and engineering background with us, but moving really into more client-facing business leadership roles.
Yep, things have certainly changed.
And Maureen, I think about you were one of the first people I met when I joined here 14 years ago. Maureen, just for everyone who's listening today, has been an incredible mentor, business partner, and friend over 14 years. And you also have had so many different careers and worked across so many different parts of our business throughout your tenure here.
Well, Brooke, thank you. It's like the flip the script here. But there's so amazing people here, and it'd be great to, you know, start to walk through for our audience. As you know, right, we're in the financial services industry and having them understand more about Fidelity as a technology business. Thank you. I'm glad that I have been able to co-host this podcast. And it would be great, Brooke, have you start to share some things about what you do at Fidelity and, you know, maybe just relate it to our audience and things of that nature.
Happy to do so. Over 14 years here at Fidelity, I've been incredibly blessed to have a number of different roles and have, as you and I have affectionately talked over the years, sort of been able to successfully, I call it sort of going back and forth across the fences between business and technology. And I think for all industries out there, all businesses in the last few decades have been on a mission to truly become more digital. And to me, fundamentally, what that means is the ongoing integration between business and technology more and more coming together and thinking about that in a singular fashion. So I give you all that as a backdrop because about a year ago, I was afforded the opportunity to move from being the former CIO for our retail business and take a new role as the president of our stock plan services and non-qual businesses. And really what that means is
in layman's speak,
but I talk about it from the heart because it's been a personal experience for me and also for both of you, and I think for millions of people out there. But fundamentally, what we're doing is we're partnering and serving other businesses, other corporations in multiple industries to help them design and deliver fundamentally equity or ownership programs to their employees. And this is very strategic for just about everybody who is either doing it today or considering doing it today, because the research shows what that means for employees in terms of how they feel about the experience of working at those firms. That sense of attachment, reward, recognition, loyalty, motivation, excitement to be an owner, right, in a business, right? It's a really, really exciting business to be in. And our non-qual offering, also very similar, fundamentally designed to help all employees wherever we can engage. Super blessed to be a part of it all.
It's really amazing. And I know you're going to continue here, Adam. But I think thinking about technology careers and then applying all of that, right, and the business needs, really bringing it down to how it impacts employees and associates is just something really phenomenal. And it helps people to understand you can start to bridge the gap between both of those.
Yeah, and that leads me to a question, Brooke. You've had the benefit of being in several different companies. You've had the benefit of being in these highly technical roles here at Fidelity, switching to a business line role as well. So you have this interesting kind of vantage point or opportunity to look at tech careers. And, you know, having built one yourself, but also mentoring people, grow people, and now looking at it from a different lens outside of technology, what advice would you have for someone looking to kind of build their career in technology?
It's a great question. It's a question I'm super passionate about, because I think one of the folklores or mythbusters that we need to provide about technology is I think folks, and especially those younger in their careers, come from a place where they think they hear the word technology and they immediately go, but I'm not an engineer or an architect, or I'm not in a technical field today. So that can't be for me. And the reality is that it is for everybody. And this is one of the favorite pieces I love to talk about, because if you think about all the roles here at Fidelity, or even think about my business, the business I'm in and the business Fidelity broadly is in happens riding the backbone of technology, right? So for Stock Plan, just back to sort of what we offer, that is a platform-based business fundamentally. The platform is how our clients serve their employees. The platform is how they administer plans. The platforms and the digital experiences, Adam, that my team partners with your team on, designed to help participants and employee take advantage of all that financial acumen, is delivered through technology. So technology is absolutely critical, absolutely, software engineering disciplines, architecture disciplines, but it is also the field of product management. It is business analysis. It is program delivery. It is analytics, data, AI. I mean, I can't think of a job function, honestly, anywhere. I'm looking at our colleagues who are sitting in the room today, and what they're doing is fueled through technology. How we'll deliver the podcast is fueled by technology. It is everywhere. It is everything. And so what I would say to everyone, Adam, is if you do nothing else, broaden your aperture, that being in the field and working with technology is not limited to only certain practices, but is truly for everyone. And for those, especially starting out in your career, does not matter what industry you find yourself in going forward. You are going to find yourself either using technology, delivering a customer experience through technology if you're not in the business of building it yourself. So no matter where you're headed, get tech savvy is a lot of, you know, what my advice is.
I love that right there. Yeah. No matter where you are, get tech savvy. I feel like we just end the podcast right there. Like, that's the best line right there. Yeah, that's awesome.
There you go. Digital businesses are in the business of technology. We used to tell, you know, it's like one of our sayings here. And I think, but you've just covered so many different roles. And I would add in communications and marketing and some of those other things. But you're still, you know, marketing, customer platforms, yeah, digital experiences. And I think it's just really a great reminder to people, right? I like how you said that, widen the aperture. And this is where we hope that people are listening to us so that they can maybe see themselves or hear themselves in the various personalities that we've talked to and, you know, across all of these segments.
I totally agree, Maureen. I often find myself saying and repeating, no matter your interest, we have a home for you here at Fidelity. If your passion is customer, we have roles that have you working and talking directly with customers. Again, technology is fueling that, but we have that. If your passion is research and analytics and working with data and analysis and trends, we have a home for you. If your passion is building the next generation of platforms and helping modernize ecosystems and working with the latest, greatest technology and partners, we have a home for you. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that is a big part of the vision behind, right, the podcast series and number 20 today.
Can feel that passion. For sure.
It's true.
So, Brooke, you mentioned, you know, you and I both switched roles that were a little bit more tech-facing, a little bit more internal-facing, to a little bit more outward customer and client-facing. And I know that's, you know, that's one of our big things, is that we have a reputation here at Fidelity for really putting the customer first and building the apps and the tools and designing to fit the market's needs or the customer's needs, the human's needs that are interacting with that. You know, how do you and your teams ensure that you're addressing what's really at the top of the minds of our customers when it comes to technology or those offerings?
Yes, another area that has been both learned and is a muscle and area of passion every day. And I'm going to start answering this question by sharing a piece of advice that was given to me on my Fidelity journey, where it was one of the first times I had made a switch from sort of leading an engineering discipline to leading a business offering that was fueled by engineering and platforms. And the advice that was given to me, you know, because we can get into a discussion is like, hey, what do you mean by customer obsession, right? You know, like we use those words a lot. And the advice that was given to me in that business leadership role was to make sure that I always had my left hand and my right hand, my rudders for decision making, that it was both customer obsession, I'll come back to that in a minute, coupled with data-driven decision making. So on the customer obsession front, one of the things that I think is really important in any role, and something that certainly I employ in my current role, as my whole team does, is actually talking to customers, right? I think most firms, you know, if you sort of study case studies on those who've done well and those, you know, that have had different outcomes over the years, job number one is don't lose touch directly with the customer. And make sure that you have as many avenues as possible to engage directly in those conversations, to hear it for yourself. If you, again, I would say no matter what role you're in, yeah, as I look across this table and look at Maureen, I can remember discussions earlier in our career to say, you know, we were always after how do we be in the room with a customer ourselves, right? And how critical all roles that are involved in delivering for a business, yes, or a platform need to be at that table, need to hear the customer voice. But on the right-hand side, Adam, you need really good data analytics and trends. So it's a little bit of a trust but verify. So, you know, in our business, I think those two things come to life every single day. We have conversations with our clients every day. We have mechanisms as a team in which we bring in and talk about those trends. And that feeds into our prioritization process for, as we think about our platform and product roadmaps, what comes first and what comes second, right? So, and that's in a very fast moving industry that we're in. I mean, financial services, as we all know, you know, as I back on the, if you're, you know, no matter what you're looking for, we have a home for you. I would also say, hey, if you love a fast-paced environment, financial services is a home for you. But you also need real-time sensors, right, into the marketplace, into what's happening, and be able to take those trends and analytics and marry it against what your real-time pulse is. And you want to create that continuous feedback loop as input into our products and services. So that's pretty important to get right. And I feel really very good and confident on our mechanisms, not only in the business I'm blessed to lead, but for us here at Fidelity. And that really is, you know, in the DNA of Fidelity is that customer first trajectory and obsession and passion for helping others, right, in their businesses and in their lives.
I think it's really great connecting the work that you do with the customers and the associates, right, that are doing that, right? And it's just a really nice virtuous cycle there. So Brooke, for our audience, you know, we love to, you know, there's so much richness here as we talk through. But let's pivot for a minute and go back and just talk about your general, the progression, your career journey, and any interesting, you know, aspects of that that you think would be really helpful, you know, before you came to Fidelity, or if there's anything you want to double down on in there.
One of the things I was really intentional about earlier in my career was to do as much rotation as I could, about every 2 to 2.5 years, willing to jump in and learn a new function. And so what's been interesting as I reflect on my career, because I choose to believe all things happen for a reason. The first half of my career was actually working for technology providers themselves. Okay, so early providers in telecommunications solutions or CRM solutions or technology consulting firms, they were in the business of providing technology, but the roles I had were business roles actually early in my career. So, you know, it was sales, business development, marketing, communications. And so those were the functions I sort of grew up in. And then one day, as I like to say, and I can remember exactly what time of year, what building and what office I was sitting in, when the gentleman I was working for, who was the president of a business, turned to me and said, hey, we're having some challenges with one of our platforms and we were considering making a change and I'm giving it to you to manage and figure out. And this was the day that then the whole rest of my career, I pivoted from selling and servicing technology to managing technology. And I found, Maureen, that I had a total love and passion for it, because for technology to work well, the users have to love it.
Yeah.
They got to fall in love with it and feel that it is helping them accomplish a goal in their lives, right? So is it helping a client solve a business problem? Is it helping an individual, at least in our business, is it helping that individual make better financial decisions? And so I found my passion for solving business problems, but how do you apply technology to do it, was where my career then shifted. And, you know, the rest was kind of history. And then I was, you know, I feel super blessed that I found my way to Fidelity 14 years ago, because what Fidelity offers is this beautiful, healthy mix of this startup culture that we have and our passion for doing better every day, but also with these incredible sets of scaled tools, technology, infrastructure, culture, and ecosystem that comes with a 78-year-plus growing wildly successful firm. And all the firms I worked at before were one or the other. I was either in a startup environment or a massive, you know, corporation. And yet here it's both. And, you know, I've never looked back. And every day is a new one. It's just been really terrific.
Brooke, that was so amazing. I don't know how we couldn't say any of this any better. And you reminded me when you first came to Fidelity, just the passion and that strategic connector that you are, right? Both to the value of what we can provide to customers and then bring it back into associates. So thank you. So Brooke, that was really excellent. And I think you've really done a really nice job for the audience of being able to connect both the technology, the business value back to associates as well, right? You know, employees. And so as we think about your career here, a little over a year ago, you did find yourself changing to another role. Maybe share a little bit there about that career shift and, you know, tell us a little bit about how it's going.
Yeah, happy to. And again, I feel incredibly blessed to have had that opportunity come up. You know, again, I think if we think about just the career story I just told, one of the things, and this is advice I would give to others as well, but I enjoy being fungible, meaning I view myself here at Fidelity as a member of a phenomenal team. And if you take a sports team, you take a sports analogy, right? There might be sort of a particular skill or discipline in a particular position on the field that you find you really anchor towards or love to play. But all good athletes need to be ready and willing at any point to really pinch in for any other, you know, position on the field. And I think one of the things that I've been intentional about throughout my career journey is to learn as much as possible about end-to-end business roles and end-to-end technology roles, and how to have been fortunate to do as many of those roles as possible. And so when this particular opportunity came up, I thought, wow, what a gift. Because when I really started to look at it, it was like a culmination of everything I had done in my entire career, where I knew I could come in and take a amazing business and a incredible team and join them and their mission. And how could we build on that greatness and help more clients and help more of their employees and associates? Like, we're so fortunate where we are, and there's even more we can do. So really excited to join that mission. But moving from that CIO to a head of business role allowed for me to take everything in that technology domain, coupled with some of that earlier experience I shared, where I'd done all these different business roles, and now really be able to join in it, you know, the business and help them move forward. And so it's been a fantastic year. The team is amazing. Working with our clients has been amazing. And honestly, those are the two most favorite ways I spend my time. Anytime I am in a room talking to our clients, where I am actually, you know, talking to our team and having a conversation about what more we can do to help, that is absolutely the best part of this job all day long. And then the other thing, you know, just given my technology background, and I can remember 14 years ago, 10 years ago, like at that time, certain technology trends were still fairly early. And always saying, like, the dream job is to actually be, you know, in a platform-based business. You know, that is where it all comes together. And so I think it's, you know, as I said, some things, you know, happen for a reason, but I've been really blessed. But the other point I'm trying to make is, and this is my advice to those who are listening, is, you know, hopefully you all find a firm and a culture that you love as much as I love Fidelity. And so my badge says Fidelity at the end of the day. And I am happy to contribute and jump in on just about anything, Maureen. And so that's why I say, right, attaching it back to career, try as many things as possible, because I think what that sets you up for in your career is your ability to be agile as a leader and be able to say, right, because I love Fidelity and I love it here so much. I'm literally, there's not a role that I wouldn't be happy to be in, because I'm just so thrilled to be part of our mission, okay, and our culture, and be here with the amazing people who work here every single day. And that's the truth. So that's where we're at for now. Every day is a gift, and, you know, we'll see what tomorrow brings.
That's amazing. You had this great opportunity to switch roles inside the company, and you really leaned into it, obviously. What advice would you give people like myself who more recently did this, or others? I have to assume that we have some folks that are listening right now that they're thinking about that next move inside the company. It might be a little scary. It might be exciting. What advice do you have for them in either finding that opportunity, or once they get in that new opportunity, how to make the most out of it?
It's great. I'm dying to turn the question back to you and say, Adam, how's it been going, and what advice can you share with the rest of us? But I think you have two questions in there, so I'll take it one at a time. To those who are trying to figure out, where do I go from here? What's my, you know, what's that next great move for me? I always like to ask the question, what does great look like? And it won't always be perfect, but I always think that what great looks like is, can you find a role where you can take everything you've learned to date and be able to come in and add immediate value and help that organization or help that team with whatever their next stage of growth or opportunity is. Because, you know, all of us are wired to want to come in and help and make an impact, right? That's just sort of how human nature is. But I think it's equally good to see if that same opportunity provides opportunities for growth. And that's the part, Adam, you speak to, which I think some folks, they're, you know, maybe their fear of that unknown can get in the way. And I just encourage everybody to sort of push through that, because that's where that career development and growth and learning really comes to fruition. And I choose to believe that every job should have a healthy amount of both. That's kind of, you know, the way I think about the left hand and the right hand side of the page. That's on a functional basis. And then I think the second question that you asked is, hey, once you're in a new role, you know, what are some of those best practices? Honestly, one of the things I find myself, I've got some new leaders that have just joined our organization. And what I find myself telling them, and I speak about this frequently, but this is a people business at the end of the day. So I always think, like, job number one is hearts and minds and really listening, you know, really connecting with the team, connecting with customers if you're in a client-facing role, and really listening, those listening posts, and giving yourself enough time to really hear from a 360-degree perspective of what, you know, what the opportunities are. And also equally, what are the things that are important to protect and keep on keeping on? But, you know, I always think there's a wonderful book called The First 90 Days. And I usually, if someone hasn't read it, I usually give it to them, because I think it does a very nice job providing a framework on how to think about those first 90 to 120 days new enroll. But I really view that as most important, right? Because the second thing is, understand, are you in a role that is transformational in nature? Different level of expectation and probably pace of, you know, change in terms of driving. And then number three, have a method to, you know, check yourself, right? So I always say it, you know, whenever someone says to me, hey, how's it going? Or how are you doing? I turn around and say, well, you tell me, you know, like, right? It doesn't matter really what I think, you know, it you know, you got to get those pulses and just make sure, you know, are you prioritizing and focused on the right things and helping folks out where they need it. But those are a couple of my ideas, but I'd love to, you know, hear from you, Adam, other things that have been successful for you. You've worked in a number of different firms and have had an incredible trajectory here in a short time at Fidelity.
Man, turning around. I never have to, I'm in the hot seat. I never have to answer questions on the podcast. I think for me, somebody gave me advice years ago, two things that has helped me in all new roles. One was just lean into it. Lean into the uncertainty, lean into the good, lean into the bad. Just lean into it and figure out, what do you need to do in that role? What does success look like? Aim for that. And two, leave the ego at the door and don't be selfish. Think about what the collective new team that you've joined needs. Think about what the, if it's a business unit, a division, or what the company needs, the customer needs, and just figure that out and drive towards that. And don't worry about what that means for you and for yourself. Good things will come if you lean in and you're not selfish and you think about the value outcomes for the customer, for the firm, for the business unit, for your coworkers. It'll make things easier. So I've always joined new companies or went into new roles with those two things in mind. And it's helped me figure out how to navigate and steer myself a little bit easier, or at least I think it has. we'll see how they continue to go in the future. The last one is really kind of a callback to something you just said, the first 90. Really spending that first, you know, few months understanding the role and the team and the culture to make myself part of it and figure out what success looks like has always been helpful to me.
Yeah, you said something there that I want to press into, because it's an important leadership quotient, but you talked about leaning into the unknown a bit. And I think that everyone feels that. And one thing that I've seen other leaders do really well that I'm trying to emulate is just be really candid and upfront, but do it on a consistent basis for, you know, sharing what you do know, but equally sharing, hey, this is an area I don't know, you know. So, you know, I've found myself just, it seems to work well when you're open and transparent, especially if you're leading a team, to say, hey, like, this is not an area, you know, of expertise for me, or something I've spent 20 years in. And I think the lean in is leaning in on those experts and learning from them and learning from the people around you. So, yeah, we can have a whole podcast on job change sometime. Yeah.
You said you're not stepping into your old job, right? So you've got to expand the aperture. You've got to get in, understand the culture, be curious about what's out there, connect yourself to the customer. I think it's great. So, Brooke, as we kind of move into talent and helping, like, you know, one of the things we consistently go through on the podcast is just really reinforcing what are the traits, what are the aspects of talent that you're looking for as you or your managers are trying to hire?
Well, in our business, I can say in the months and quarters to come, especially for those listening today in the areas of product and platform and technology, you know, here in our stock plan services and non-qual offerings, which again serve both public and private companies, we will have great opportunities here, and you know, would definitely be interested to speak with folks. And again, that's across a variety of roles that we talked to today, right? So that's engineering, that's architecture, it's program delivery or system analysis, data analytics, like, you know, it's a what we call sort of a full stack team, where all of those skills come together in the name of passionately, you know, helping clients and their participants and customers. So, you know, I think that's forthcoming for us here in our business. And as I look at both of you, I think we would all agree broadly across Fidelity, those kinds of opportunities. But curiosity is important to us. So, you know, you don't have to be an expert in financial services, just have passion for learning and coming in. And, you know, we're really excited to provide an environment where people who are passionate about our mission and excited to learn and grow can join us. But we'll be equally thrilled to have you join the mission and help out day one, Adam, to your point too, right? We've got great stuff.
Excellent.
Well, great. Brooke, we've covered a lot of ground. We've talked about the company. We've talked about your career. We've talked about how to help others in their career. But I want to shift real fast and talk about you a little bit more, because you're obviously doing a lot of great stuff. You've obviously done a lot of great stuff, but there's more to you than just your career. So let's talk about that a little bit. Let's start off with, what are a couple things that might surprise us who've known you for a while, or others like our listeners, to learn about you?
One thing that probably, because I'm in the thick of it every day, isn't such a surprise to me, but I find it surprises others when I tell them, is that, you know, I'm also super blessed. I've been with my husband, I think we're coming up on celebrating 20 years together next month, which, you know, we're really proud of. And we have four children, you know, together. And those four children range in age from 7 through 26, and all different life stages in between. And so it tends to prompt a lot of, it tends to prompt a different podcast about, you know, work-life balance and all those good things. But yeah, I mean, I like to say I have two families, and I mean it when I say it. One is here at Fidelity, and that's how I feel about all of my teammates and colleagues, and my other family is at home, and my cup of runs over with both of those. Like, that's it, you know. And we try and spend as much time outdoors and with each other as we can. That's probably where our passion lies. So that's one thing that I think folks are often surprised to hear.
I love it. It's an amazing balance, this career through tech and business, but then trying to spend a lot of time outside in a way. Nice balance there. Love that.
Yeah, I'm blessed. I'm the lucky one.
You're the lucky one.
Yeah.
That's very nice. Sure. Well, Brooke, that's our time. So I think Maureen and I want to thank you for making the time out of your busy schedule. This has been amazing. I think something that'll be really great for our listeners to hear about.
Well, thank you. I feel this was such a gift to spend time not only with two amazing leaders at Fidelity, but two who I also consider dear friends and mentors and guides along the way. And I will hope I get invited back sometime.
I'm sure you will. Brooke, thanks so much.
Great to see you.
Thanks for joining us for Tech on Deck. We hope you enjoyed the episode. If you haven't yet, please give us a 5-star rating and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast from.
Thank you to our listeners and recording studio and editors who make our episodes possible. To learn more about tech opportunities, head over to tech.fidelitycareers.com.
See you next time.